and with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan in his hand, he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We are always so blessed that for the second week of Advent, the second Sunday of Advent, we have John the Baptist as our guide, as our example of how we should journey through the Advent season. But I'll take it even one step further. I think John the Baptist should be the example for each and every one of us on how we choose to live out our lives every single day. Because all through the Gospels, we have, every time John is mentioned or John appears, there are these powerful examples that he gives to us on how we can follow those examples and be the best children of God, the best disciples of Christ, and of course, the best sisters and brothers to one another. But in order to do that, we've got to go back to the beginning real quick. At the Annunciation, when God sent his messenger angel Gabriel to that lovely young lady, Mary, to let her know that it was out of God's love for the entire world that God chose her, this lovely young lady Mary, to be the human vessel for the Lord, for the Messiah, to come into the world to be with us. Now, she got that amazing announcement from the angel Gabriel, but she was also told in that announcement that her cousin Elizabeth, who was much, 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 much older than young Mary, was thought to be barren, but was already 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. Now, Mary in the Gospel, we're told, goes in haste, meaning she rushed to the hillsides of Jerusalem. She rushed to the village of Ann Karim. And when she encountered her cousin Elizabeth, she didn't go there to brag about the fact that she was chosen by God to be the human tabernacle to bring Jesus into the world. She rushed to Elizabeth's side to be of service to her. So we got this great example, of course, from the Blessed Mother, but the example from John comes at that moment where Mary, with our Lord Jesus in her womb, and Elizabeth with John the Baptist, in her womb, when these two lovely women come face to face, but I'm going to say even more importantly, when they come belly to belly, what does John do? He leaps for joy in his mother's womb. Right there, the first and great example of John the Baptist. We must follow the example, my friends, and be women and men of joy. When we encounter the Lord, our hearts should be compelled to literally leap within our chests. In God's creation, we encounter God's love. We encounter the Lord. In one another, the body of Christ, when we encounter one another, the Imago Dei, the image of God, we should leap for joy. When we are heard the gospel proclaimed to us, or we spend time with the gospels, Jesus speaking to us, we should leap for joy. And there's another very powerful moment. I have to tell you, over the past couple days, I've gotten to know Father Mario Celestine fairly well, and I know this man is a man of joy. So I know he's going to agree with me on this one. When we encounter Jesus, his full presence, my friends, in the Eucharist, yes, it is a reverent moment, but it is a joyful moment. Allow your hearts to literally leap for joy when you stand before the Eucharist. When you come up to receive, right here, don't be afraid to give a little leap, to leap for joy in the presence of the Lord. So right there, the first and a great example from John the Baptist. Then, of course, the location that he chose is also a very powerful example, because John didn't make it easy for himself. He didn't choose the temple area. He didn't choose just the street corner outside the temple area. Our gospel tells us John went out into the Jordan Valley, into the desert, into the wilderness, as it's referred to. I've had the honor and privilege of being exactly there many times, and I can tell you 2,000 years later, it's still a barren, desolate, cold in the winter, hot in the summer, kind of scary place. But people were flocking out to go see John, because John is letting us know today, 2,000 years later, that God is present to us everywhere, in every situation, in every moment of our lives. Never, never make the mistake of thinking God isn't present to us. God is present to us in all these locations of our life. Even when we find ourselves in those kind of desert, scary places of life, God is right beside us. And then we have the great example. I love this. It's his appearance. We hear how the gospel talks about. So John the Baptist, right? Long hair, had a beard, wearing clothes made of camel's hair, a big leather belt. He probably didn't wear sandals. John probably walking around barefoot in the Jordan Valley, eating locusts and wild honey. His appearance speaks to us. And I know most of you are meeting me for the first time, but let's be honest. Just based on my style and my appearance, doesn't he sound like someone I would have hung out with? Right? I would have been his disciple first. He would have sent me to Jesus. But John's appearance speaks to us. We can never judge anyone by the way they look. I don't care what color the skin is or the hairstyle is or what kind of sneakers they wear or jeans they wear or cars they drive. None of that matters to God. What matters to God is how we choose to love one another. Our hearts are what matter to God. And John shows us that appearance doesn't mean anything, because John was the greatest of prophets, chosen by God from the beginning to prepare the way for the Lord. So John's appearance reminds us that we never know who God is going to choose to stand before us and speak to us, to speak the word of God, to be a prophet to one another. How many of you in here were baptized in the Catholic Church? Right? I figured I'd see lots of hands. Maybe some are preparing, which is amazing. In our baptisms, we were anointed with the sacred chrism, priest, prophet, and king. We had to follow the example of John the Baptist to be the prophets that we're called to be, to speak out against injustice. If we see somebody being marginalized or abused or neglected, my friends, we have no choice but to speak out against it. We must be women and men who use our voice to speak the word of God. And the word of God is love. The word of God is mercy. It's compassion. It's forgiveness. It's reconciliation. It's everything that Jesus shows us in the Gospels. That is what we are called to do. And then John's humility should speak to every one of us as an example of what to strive for. As I said, John was popular. You know, people were, so we know him by John the Baptist. We know him as John the Baptizer sometimes. One of the ancient traditions of the Holy Land is the religious authority that he was speaking out against at times referred to him as John the Outcast. But people flocked out to John the Baptist, John the Outcast. But he never let it be about him. Never once does John in the Gospels ever make it about himself. He's always pointing us to Jesus. We hear today, right? One mightier than I is coming. John had his own disciples, his own students, but he always sent them to Jesus. He says, I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. That's the humility that we must find in ourselves, because John is constantly pointing others to Jesus, just as we are called to do. And I want you to remember this. I'll wrap up with this so I can talk briefly about the second great reason why I get to be with you today. But the last example I want to give is to remind you. Every time you go to Catholic Mass, whether it's daily Mass, Saturday Vigil, one of the Sunday Masses, we hear our priest celebrant quote John the Baptist. Remember the Gospels. John is standing on the banks of the Jordan River with his disciples, his students. Andrew was there. Some other guys were there. If I was alive 2,000 years ago, I would have been standing there. Kids are playing along the banks of the Jordan River. And this young man, Jesus, walks by. And what does John say? He tells them, it's not about me. I'm not who you're following. This is who you're following. Behold the Lamb of God. This is what Father Mario Celestine will say when he holds the chalice of the precious blood and the Eucharist up. Behold the Lamb of God. We must make sure that our challenge is to live out being women and men who are joyful and loving and of service and humble and point others to Jesus. So that's the first great blessing that I have today. As you can see, I love the Gospels. I'm madly in love with the Gospels. So I love that I can share a little bit of my heart with you. The second reason I get to stand here is one of my other great loves, is that my beautiful wife, Wednesday, yet another one of my great loves, is sitting outside at a table underneath that awesome tree that you have out here. And she and I, 14 years ago, we're going into our 14th year, created our own little foundation, our own little mission in the Holy Land. It's called the Our Lady Queen of Palestine Mission, named after our Blessed Mother. She's the patroness of our mission because she is the patroness of her son's land that he made holy. And it's a mission where each year we choose a different beneficiary and we raise awareness for what's happening in the Holy Land. We live in a great country. We have great services. We have great hospitals. We have women and men probably in here who work with special needs and things of that nature. It's rough in the Holy Land. It's really rough in that the orphanage that I'm talking about for a couple quick moments here is called the Holy Family Children's Home. It's affectionately known as creche, which if any of you speak French, you'll know that's the French word for crib. And it's located just steps away from the Church of the Nativity, which is built upon the cave, the spot where our Lord came into the world. And our beautiful Blessed Mother, that young lady, took Jesus and laid him in the manger, that feeding trough, which was his first crib. And this place is a home where abandoned children can come to be loved, to be nourished, to be held, to be played with, just to be loved as a beloved child of God. They take children in that, of course, are, and I'm not saying this to be dramatic, but are left in the streets. Oftentimes the nuns, the daughters of charity, will walk the streets of Bethlehem, some of the villages like Betzahur or places like that, and they'll find children that were abandoned because in the Middle East, we still have a very tribal aspect to it. We have the Bedouins who for thousands and thousands of years have wandered the desert. Well, imagine when they have a child that comes into the world that might have a special need and needs a crib or needs a wheelchair or something like that. They don't know what to do, and unfortunately, they abandon the children. But we've got these wonderful nuns that pick them up, bring them back to the orphanage, and love them. It's connected with the Holy Family Hospital there in Bethlehem, so oftentimes unwed mothers, because the stigma of that in the Middle East is very severe, it can be life-threatening for the mothers, will drop the children off there and the nuns will take them in. Special services will take some of the children for abuse reasons, things of that nature, but they will live in this wonderful orphanage called creche, affectionately, the Holy Family Children's Home, and they will be loved and they will be taken care of. And they have the opportunity to go into homes that would like to have a child to love and raise and raise them as the beloved child of God that they are. So I've got these trifolds. I'm not going to go on and on because I would love for you, I beg of you, I got a lot of these. Take one, two, three, or four of these, because our mission is three-tiered. So I'll go through this very quickly so we can continue with our wonderful liturgy. The first tier is raising awareness, doing what I'm doing. I'm blessed to be a deacon of the Archdiocese, but I'm also very blessed to be referred to as the deacon of the Holy Land when I'm over there. So I've got a foot in both places, and my heart is in both places. I get to go out once a month and go to parishes like this and speak about my children. Wednesday, my wife's and all our babies in the Holy Land that we get to take care of. But I'm going to ask you to take a couple of these and raise a little awareness about our world. We're Catholic. Translate to universal, right? So we're a universal church, we're a world church. If you take a couple of these, maybe later today, if you go to lunch or dinner, or it's the holiday season, maybe you're gonna go to some parties, bring a couple of these. Tell them about your wild man deacon that came prancing around in the aisle with his hair and beard and tattoos, John the Baptist deacon talking about all his babies in the Holy Land. I guarantee you that's a good conversation starter for anybody. They're gonna be, what? Raise some awareness. Talk about the reality of the world that we live in. So that's the first tier. The second tier is, I'm going to beg of you, pray, pray, and pray. Pray for these children. Pray for the volunteers. Pray for the Daughters of Charity. And I promise you something. I'm going to gather your prayers. And when I go back there next October, October 19th through 30th, invitation is you can come with me if you would like to. I'm going to lead pilgrimages along with my wife and whichever wonderful priest that joins us on these pilgrimages. I bring your prayers there to the children. I will put them at their feet. So pray, pray, pray. I'll bring your prayers. If you want to bring your prayers yourself, talk to me afterwards. You can come with your Holy Land deacon and we'll go to the Holy Land together. And I'll wrap up with this very quickly because I'm a missionary deacon, but I don't like talking about money because it's a conflict for me after I've just spoken about the gospel. So I'm going to say this. I don't ask for a collection. I don't have any envelopes, anything like that. If I've inspired you to think about donating, that is amazing. We have a table out there that has some product from our friends in Bethlehem. There's handmade rosaries. There are little olive wood figures that are made from the olive wood trees of Bethlehem. But I'll tell you this, if whether it's a donation or whether you purchase something, 100% of what I receive is 100% of what we give to the beneficiary. We are a 501c3. We're actually under the umbrella of Rome and the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. So that's where we have our 501c3. What we receive goes to the Archdiocese and then it goes to Rome, and Rome is the one that goes straight to the bank accounts of the places that we take care of. So I'll be outside. If you buy anything, I'll bless it. We can talk. We can talk about the children. We can talk about the Holy Land. We can talk about you coming on pilgrimage with me. But thank you for allowing me to talk about the gospel and talk about the orphanage and all the beautiful babies that we have in the Holy Land. And God bless you all. I love you all as well, and just thank you for putting up with me for a few minutes. I appreciate it.